About a covenant this morning, another covenant that we have with God, one that we know and we realize, but we don't know the depth of the covenant many times, or we don't live in the depth of the covenant that I'm going to talk about with you this morning. Let me just take a side note just a second before I talk. It was brought to my attention recently about the Word of God and the accuracy of the Word of God and what you read as regards to the accuracy of the Word of God. My brother-in-law, who was the president of Life Publishers, who publishes Bibles around the world in 60 different countries and languages and translates these difficult ones into a Bible that's known worldwide now as the Fire Bible, a Pentecostal version study Bible of the Word of God. I know that for, I guess in the billions would be for the Mandarin language and how it's affected that area and other languages around the world. But the interpretation or the translation of the Word of God is very important. Amen. And today we have many, many versions of this word. Just in 2011, there was a new version of the NIV. Now, the NIV I've always put my blessing on. And the first original NIV translation of the Word of God is a very good, accurate word. But this new one in 2011 that was printed is not one I would recommend. And people constantly come to me and say, what would you recommend? And I found out that there's been some exclusions and some watering down of the relationship of the Holy Spirit in this new version of the NIV. So if you purchase a Bible, I'm strongly recommending the Life in the Spirit or the Full Life Study Bible. And it's done under Don Stamps, who's been a friend of mine. He's in heaven now. But we need to know. Many people like the King James, and it's a good version, the New King James, and the older version of the NIV or the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, is a very clear version. And what I say, what's clear, is I'm talking about exactly what's said in the original script that is translated in with accuracy. And if I see or hear of one that's coming out that is not accurate, as your shepherd, I'll let you know about it. And so if you see an NIV, ask and see if it's the new version. If it is, I would recommend that you veer away from that because of some translation error in the Word of God there and go with some of the others I've mentioned. This covenant that I want to talk about to you this morning, you see, the Word of God's too important for us not to have an accurate interpretation. How many says amen? The Word of God is our life. And it can't be messed with, and it can't be added to or taken away. In fact, there's very strong warning in the Word of God in regard to adding to or taking away of the Word of God. And we need to have the full gospel when we read and when we study His Word. This covenant that I want to talk to you about this morning is one that all of you are living under if you know Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've been saved, you've been redeemed, you've been regenerated, and you're following Jesus Christ as your Savior. Say amen. Amen. So for those of you that have responded, I want to give you this word today, because if you're outside of that realm, you have no hope. In fact, you're living a life and an existence that's waiting to die and waiting for an eternity lost, which is unnecessary because Jesus paid the price. There's nothing on this earth that will be greater or mean more to you in this life and the life to come than a relationship with Jesus Christ. So why not take advantage of God's gift? And for all of those that you that have, you're living under a guaranteed covenant. And that covenant is greater than any obstacle or any situation that you can face in your life. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the love covenant of God in relation to the believer. And when I say that, I have to preface it, because immediately we will say, oh yes, I know about that, and I'm understanding that, and I live and I walk under the love covenant of Jesus Christ with God in my life. But sometimes we don't live under the fullness or enjoy the power of that covenant in our life. And I want to talk to you and go all the way back to the first covenant and talk to you how that God brought that into existence and how it is today. If you'll go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it's a famous, famous chapter of a king that was the fourth king from Solomon in the line and lineage of Judah. He was a king of Judah. He was the great, 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 great grandson of David. His name was Jehoshaphat, and he was a godly man. He was godly because he was raised in a godly environment. His father before him, Asa, was a godly king. And Jehoshaphat chose to lead Judah in the way of God. And he immediately, when he took over the kingship from his father, even made greater reforms in the nation of Judah that had been there prior to him. And Jehoshaphat was doing all that he should and could to be serving God. But even then, the enemies of God were mounting an attack against him. Now listen to me this morning, and let me bring this to you as much as I can. When you determine to serve God, the enemy of your soul is determined to try to discourage you from serving God. That's nothing new, and that's nothing to be afraid about, and that's nothing to be worried about or dread, or get up every morning and wondering, how's he going to try to take me out of my relationship with Jesus this morning? What temptation, what trial, what battle am I going to fight? You have to understand that when you comprehend the love covenant of Jesus Christ to you, the worry is gone. The dread is gone. The fear is gone. The concern or the anxiety that we live in wondering, can we survive? Can we surface above, under the water and come above to get a breath of air until Jesus comes? Listen to me. God doesn't want you to live a survival mentality. He didn't create you to be a survivalist. He created you to be victorious, because it's through your victorious life that God is going to work through you to be a witness to others that Jesus is the way to live your life. And if we as a body of believers, or we as a church, we as Christians go around with a survivalist mentality, what's going to happen if? How are we going to survive when? What's going to be our way when the church comes under this or that? And not understand the power of the love covenant of God, we're going to not be something that entreats people or causes people to desire to serve God, but we're going to have people go, why would I want to be a Christian if that's how you think all the time? I want to have such a powerful testimony and such a powerful witness that when people see me, they say, because of what you have, I want that. Amen? How many would like to have that in your life? And you say, well, Pastor, about 12 of you waved at me because you're saying, we're trying to survive. We're trying to survive. We've got a financial, economic crunch in the world. Didn't you know that? Didn't you know that we're down exactly 33% from where we should be worldwide in economics? Don't you understand that all the food prices are going up and the gas prices are going up? And the benefits are going down, and the economy's in a recession, and unemployment is at an all-time high, and all these things are happening. We're in an election year, and the world is in chaos, and we keep on and keep on talking about the enemies that are surrounding us until we forget about the God that's greater than the global situation. Understand this, God is greater than all the concerns that surround you, and he is concerned about your immediate health. He's concerned about your immediate provision. He's concerned about your life. A God that's able to create the universe, still knows the needs that you have. So the Bible says that Jehoshaphat was attacked, or he was the enemy mounted their battle against him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Word of God says that this certain group of people came. Let me get there and read it to you very quickly. It says, in the spring when the kings, I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles, I was in 1st. That's another good story. If you want that one, come back later. I actually had it on my notes here, and one of them's gone. Devil can't get me that easier. Chapter 20, 2 Chronicles, verse 1. And after this, the Moabites and the Amorites, together with the Munites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. Now listen, let me explain to you who's fighting against him. Jehoshaphat's of the lineage of David. It's very important that you're going to see lineages in here and inheritances in here. In this study, the Bible says that the Amorites and the Moabites and the Munites, here's three groups of people that come together in a coalition to fight against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's from the lineage of David. David is from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Munites were wannabes. They were lookalikes. They dressed like the Ammonites, they tried to act like the Ammonites, and they attached themselves to the Ammonites. They didn't have an identity in themselves, so they went around and followed the Ammonites and tried to act like them, which is a warlike, wicked organization, and the Moabites. The Moabites and the Ammonites were the descendants of Lot, who broke the covenant with Abraham. And his daughters had an incestual relationship with him. So Ammon and Moab are born in sin, and they warred against, they immediately, from their very conception, they were in war against the promises of Abraham through Jacob from the very beginning. So these are incestual, sinful, born in nations that are coming against Israel to destroy it. Their heart's desire was to destroy. And so it was no question, no doubt why they came. It didn't surprise anyone, but it shocked Jehoshaphat in the fact of the numbers that they've gained. They gained a huge, giant army, and they came against Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says, then then in chapter 20, after the Moabites and the Ammonites, together with the Munites, came to fight against Jehoshaphat. People came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast multitude from beyond the Dead Sea and from Edom, listen to this. Here's another location. These are Edomites, and that's Esau's descendant. This is Jacob's twin who came against him, who lost his birthright, who lost his heritage. So if you understand the background of these people, all of them had a grudge with the blessings of Jacob. All of them. All of them had a grudge because of failure and sin in their life. Satan has a grudge against you because of his failure and the fact that he lost his place in heaven as one of the chief angels of God who brought worship to the throne, but he dared to touch the glory and honor of God, and when he did, he lost his place. That's exactly what happened here. These are those who had lost the covenant. They had no covenant relationship with Jehovah, and so they were going to destroy those who had covenant relationship. And listen to me, Satan is going to do everything he can to destroy the covenant relationship that you have that he cannot have. Do you hear? He's going to try to discourage you from believing or trusting or living in the love covenant that you have with God through Jesus Christ, because he cannot have it. That's what these nations were doing. They couldn't have that covenant, so they came to destroy these who had that. And this vast army came against Israel, or against Judah. And as this army came, Jehoshaphat had to know what to do. He had to know where to go and how to react toward these. And so he immediately began to go to God. And as he went to God, he began to pray and ask God for his strength. And the Bible says that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 10, and all the men of Judah and their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. They were praying. Jehoshaphat had just said in verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Have you ever been to a place in your life that you didn't know what to do? Where to turn? What help that could be gained? And you were wondering, God, do you hear me? And that's what they did. So all the men of Judah and their wives and children, the little ones, stood there before the Lord. And as they were standing before God, inquiring of God, then God invoked his love covenant on his people. Listen to me. In the day of trouble in your life, when you go to God and you lift your hands to him and you say, God, you've been our God in the past. You saved me. You've directed me. You've protected me. You've provided for me. And today, I'm in the day or in the valley of trouble, of death. I need your help. I need your provision. I need your strength. I can assure you that God will not leave you helpless. He'll be there for you. As they were worshiping God, as they were looking to God, the Bible says that then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Now listen to what happened. This is no different. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't any different now as he was in the day of Jehoshaphat or David. The Holy Spirit's actively speaking. And he's spoken through men and women for centuries and millennial times. He began to speak like we hear today. This morning, you were encouraged by a message in tongues and interpretation. And it was directly from God. And it was telling you that your burdens don't have to be your burdens. They can be God's burdens. You can lay your burdens down. You can lay your cares down. You can give them to God. And he will, because of his love covenant with you, he will accept those burdens and you don't have to carry them any longer. How many would like to lighten the load a little bit today? Let me see your hands. I believe everyone in this room has room for that. He'll take care of every need you have. He'll lighten the load. And so this one, Jehaziel, began to prophesy. No difference than the prophetic word this morning. He began to speak this word. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Now here's something very important. Because Jehaziel realized the covenant of love he had with God and he operated in it. And you need to understand your heritage. You need to understand what's yours. You need to understand and to operate in what not is available to you, but what is in you. Amen? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Now look at this. He's going to talk about five generations. The son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, and a Levite and a descendant of Asaph. Five different levels that he talks about. Why would God take the time in all of Holy Script to write down the five preceding generations in the life of this prophet who came? Because he wanted us to understand what those generations stand for. If you look at the name of these men, Jael, I'm sorry, I pronounced it wrong. When you look at the names of these men, you see what their name meant in Hebrew and how that worked in the life of the inheritance of Jehaziel. The enemy's trying to stop me from preaching this morning, folks. Let's rebuke it in Jesus' name right now, would you? Father God, I know when I feel that resistance, and I bind it, Jesus. I don't normally do that, but Father God, I break that in Jesus' name right now. And God, I praise you for the clarity and the anointing, because God, there are people here this morning that desperately need to hear this word in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's meet the devil at the door. What do you say? Amen. So these are Jehaziel's descendants before him and his inheritance. And we go to the first one. It says that Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. Let me tell you what the name Zechariah means in Hebrew. It means remembered of God. Remembered of God. God knows you and remembers you and knows who you are. And then Zechariah, the son of Benaiah. Benaiah means this, whom Jehovah has built, whom Jehovah has fashioned. He fashioned this man to be used of God like he's fashioned you to be used of God. He had this promise. Number one, God knows who you are. Number two, God has fashioned you in his own divine design for him to be, for you to be used of him. And then this Benaiah, the son of Jeiel. And Jeiel means simply this, a treasure of God. You are not only, God knows who you are. He's made you in this very special way. And now you've become God's treasure. So God doesn't just put up with you. He doesn't just like you because he has to, because of Jesus' price he paid. God loved you so much that he sent his son, that whosoever believes in his son can have everlasting life. So you've got this incredible God who looks at you like you're a treasure. My friends, listen to me. Some of you don't even like yourself. Some of you aren't pleased with yourself. You're disappointed in yourself. And you think, I'm nothing and no one could care for me or use me or God doesn't care. But I'm here to tell you that you're of the lineage of Jeiel and God treasures you. You're a treasure to the Almighty God. Not only that, he said, Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah. And this is what Mattaniah means, that you're a gift of God. That means this. He remembers who you are. He knows you. He's fashioned you. You're a treasure of God. And he has wrapped you up to give you into the lives of other people. God doesn't give junk away. He doesn't give away second-rate gifts and treasures. He takes what's precious to him. Started with his son, the greatest treasure heaven's ever had. And he wrapped him up in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger and gave us the greatest gift mankind could ever imagine. And he does the same with you. He wraps you up. You see, Mattaniah is a gift of the Lord. He causes you to be a gift. So you're not a piece of trash. You're not second class. You're not someone that looks down on himself and has a low self-image. You are a treasure of God that's been adorned by God, and now you become a gift to whoever God puts you in his presence. Start living like what you are, not what the devil's told you you are. Stop living the way God's inheritance created you, not what the enemy's told you you are. Mattaniah is the son of Asaph. If you read through the Psalms, you've read many, many Psalms of that music director by the name of Asaph that was with David. And his name simply means this, that God has removed your reproach. He's removed your reproach. Not only has he inwardly cleansed you, that you don't live in guilt any longer, but he's outwardly removed any enemy that comes against you has to deal with God because he has removed your reproach. God is on your side. He's taking care of your cares. He's taking care of your needs. Think about it. He knows who you are. He built and fashioned you. He made you his treasure. He made you a gift to others to give of yourself. and then he's taken away your reproach. This heritage that Jehaziel said that God knows and cares for us. And because of this, because of his heritage, he had a word for Israel. He had a word. And here was the word. The battle isn't your battle. That was his word to Israel. The battle's not yours. I'm coming to you this morning under the same heritage and under the same anointing and under the same prophetic word that Jehaziel came when all of the Ammonites and the Moabites and Midianites attacked the nation of Judah. When those battles have come your way, name the battle in your mind right now as you're sitting there. Look at the front where the enemy's trying to take away your confidence and your value and your worth. And I'm coming to you with this word in the name of Jesus. The battle is not yours. Because of his obedience, he had divine direction for Israel. He gave a word of prophecy and gave direction through the word of God. You see, Jehaziel had a word and he had a direction for Israel. And because of his name, whom God watches over, that's what Jehaziel means. Who God watches over, the eyes of God are on this person. The word says that he had a God that watched over him and led him to victory. So you need to understand that the battle today is not your battle. Number one. The second thing, God has a direction for you to go in that will lead you to victory. And the third thing is that the eyes of God are watching over you today, regardless of what you see or feel in the present. He has already pre-planned a victory for your life. When Jehoshaphat heard these words, he bowed. Listen to this. Let me just read what this prophetic word was. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who dwell," and this is chapter 20, verse 15 of 2 Chronicles. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you." Listen, I'm telling you this morning that I'm bringing a word, a fresh word, that is the same prophetic word to you. And if you're here this morning and you're fighting a battle and you want to get victory in that battle, I need you to stand to your feet right now and say, "God, this word's for me." I want you to stand up. I want to identify you right now, because I'm going to read something to you. If you're in a battle and you want victory over the battle, stand up right now. Don't sit down. Don't hesitate. I'm going to read it and you can sit back down. But I want to address this to you, because the children of Israel stood up. Maybe you're not in a battle now. That's wonderful. But listen to me, those of you that are. This is what he said. He said, number one, do not be afraid or discouraged. Do you hear me? This isn't a suggestion. This is a command by the great God that you serve, that has given you a heritage. He remembers, he knows who you are. He has built you and fashioned you. He has caused you to be his treasure. He has made you his gift to people and to humanity. And he has removed the enemy's reproach against you. And the first thing you need to know is this: not to be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army or this thing that's coming against you. For the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. I proclaim that to you right now. The battle isn't yours, it's God's battle. Just a little bit more. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but the Lord's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not, listen to this, you will not have to fight this battle, but take your positions and stand firm and see, listen to this, see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will give you. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. Tomorrow, I want you to go in your normal direction like God would call you to, and understand this, that He's going to bring you to a place where the battle is, and when the battle's there, I want you to take your position as a child of God. I have an inheritance. God is my God. He has redeemed me through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He knows my name. He has provided for me. He has fashioned me and made me. He has made me His treasure. He has made me His gift. He's removed all the reproach against me. And I'm going to go knowing the battle's not mine. I don't have to be afraid. I'm just going to take my stand as a child of God and say, I'm not going nowhere. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to be His child in every circumstance. And God says when that happens, He will fight your battle. Amen. You can be seated. Let me finish this. This was a promise to you who stood this morning. This is a guarantee to you. If you'll act on the love covenant that God has given you. The Bible says Jehoshaphat bowed when he heard these words. He bowed his face to the ground, and all the people of Jerusalem, they fell down and they began, listen to this, they began to worship the Lord. There's a spirit of worship in this house right now. There's a spirit of worship in this house right now. Because he said they begin to worship the Lord and the Kohathites and the Korahites, which only means, who are these strange people? The Kohathites means this. It means the assembly, the congregation. That's what the word means. You're part of the congregation this morning. They begin to worship God. With a loud voice, they begin to praise Him. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah. And I'm going to rephrase that this morning for those of you in the battle. Sanctuary, and all of you who are visiting this morning. Sanctuary of hope, listen to me. Listen to me and to the people of God. Listen. God, your God, and will uphold you. Have faith in His prophets. Listen, have faith in the word you heard today, and you'll be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out ahead of the army. Look, before they even put an army to fight, he appointed men, and he said, all of you come. Those of you that are in a battle that stood, he would say, come and stand here. And they begin to sing. Now here's what they sing. And I want you to listen to this, how conclusive God's word is. They said, give thanks to the Lord for His love endures forever. Let me explain exactly what they did. They called back on their heritage. They went back to Psalms 136. To a psalms written by Jehoshaphat's great, 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 great grandfather David. And this was a typical psalm. It wasn't just some humming song or some word they made up. They literally began to recite Psalms 136, exactly what historians tell us when they gave us this hint, give thanks to the Lord. Now, go to Psalms 136 with me, and I want you to recite with me just a little bit. When we celebrate Seder, which is the dinner before Passover every year in this church, and hundreds come, and we worship God, this is the prayer, this is the praise, this is the thanksgiving that goes before the victory. This is the praise that God led Israel to recite, written by David, before he destroyed the enemy. He did nothing but remind them of His love. I'm going to remind you of God's love this morning. I want you to repeat these words after me. For His love endureth forever. Will you do that? Listen to me as as I read this. For his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone, to him with whom alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens. Say it with all of your heart. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun governs the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out of from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the desert, who struck down the great kings and killed the mighty kings, Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, who gave their land as an inheritance, an inheritance to his servant Israel, to the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives us food to every, gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Lift your hands and praise him. We just exactly did exactly what Judah did. We gave praise. We remembered the thankfulness of God. And in praising him, he began to incite his power in our life that destroyed the effectiveness of the enemy. He began to lead Israel. The Word of God says that after they had praised and given thanks, this incredible thing happened. As they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Now listen to this. Listen to what happened when they begin to recite what God had given them. When they begin to live in their inheritance. When they begin to say, this isn't my battle, it's God's battle. When they begin to know that God's love covenant for them was greater than any understanding, that they weren't a piece of junk, a throwaway nation, but they were God's treasures. Listen to me. I rebuke anything that comes against you this morning that makes you less than a child of God. You're not less than, you're more than because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said as he began to sing praises, the Lord, listen, not you. You didn't have to do anything but recite, God, this is what you've done for me in the past. You're my God. I have a heritage from you. He said the Lord began to set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who invaded Judah, and they were defeated. But listen to how it happened. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Seir and destroyed and annihilated them. And after it finished slaughtering the men from Seir, then they helped destroy one another. Here's what I'm going to tell you, that the enemy comes to the wannabe and they said, you don't look like our friends. And they saw them as who they were. And Ammon and Moab, these two evil brothers, turned on the one that came to help them and come. completely annihilated these Munites or these wannabes, and then they couldn't quit fighting, and they started to fight each other, and before the day was over, the enemy had imploded and destroyed itself, and they didn't have to lift a finger. Not a finger. You didn't have to say a word. You didn't have to give an opinion. You didn't have to do anything but stand in the presence of your inheritance with a love covenant that cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. The Bible says, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert, that means when they came down to the battle. Listen to this. They looked toward the vast army, and they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Woo! 100% destruction. No one had escaped. No one lived to tell the tale. No one lived to bring another generation of curses against them. When God destroys the enemy that comes against you, He will utterly destroy it when you stand in your heritage. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder. And they found among them great amounts of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it, but on the fourth day, they stopped and they renamed that place of battle and they call it the Valley of Baraka. Why? Because it was now the Valley of Peace. That's what it means. The battle that you're looking at that's greater than you, that's overwhelming, it doesn't matter how big it is, God knows today. He knows that no battle, regardless of description, regardless of magnitude, regardless of the odds, regardless of the power against you, nothing can overthrow what you have in Christ Jesus. It's your heritage. You're one generation removed. You're not the fourth or fifth generation. You're the bloodline of Jesus Christ. You're a child and a daughter of the Almighty God, and the heritage is of God. The love covenant of God is yours today. It's yours. The Bible says one of the great truths about you today in the new covenant that we have. I like this in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Listen to me. Listen this morning. This isn't a rebuke. This is a reminder. Why do you say, I'm a child of God? I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm doing my best and not live in the promises of God. God's asking that question. Why do you tell people he's your Lord, but you don't live in the promises he's given? You don't live in the covenant he's paid his blood for. Why not live in the fullness of relationship? Amen? He says this for this morning. There's some decision making that needs to be made in your life. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And this is what he's saying to you this morning. This isn't your battle. This is God's battle. He's got a plan. He just wants you to go stand and trust in him. Listen to what he's saying. I will show you what he's like who comes to me and hears my word and puts them to practice. How many this morning say, Pastor, as difficult as it might be, as low as I might feel, as big as the enemy is, I'm going to do my best to put this to practice this morning. Say amen with me. All right, he said for this is a promise, and God cannot lie, will not lie. It's impossible for God to lie. This is his promise to you this morning. If you're in despair, if you're in discouragement, if you're in want, if you're in need, if you're in direction that God needs for your life, you need to know he brought you here for this. And he said, if you'll put this into practice, he's like a man, the one that puts it into practice, the one that said, I'll obey. You see, the three areas I told you that Jehaziel had that God blessed him was that, number one, because of his heritage, you've got that. He had a word. Because of his obedience, he had divine direction. And because of his name, who he was, he had God's blessing. Listen to this. He is like the man who's building a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the floods came and the torrents struck that house, but did not shake it. Listen to me again. Let me read it. He's like a man who building a house, who dug down deep and laid his house on the foundation of the rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck, that house could not be shaken. It couldn't shake it. It couldn't remove it because it was well built. Didn't I tell you that one of the heritages that you have is that God has built you? He's built you. He's fashioned you. He's made you. All the provisions are there. From the very beginning, he made provisions for you. He knows your name. He remembered you. Zechariah, Benaiah, God has built you and fashioned you. Jeiel, he has made you his treasure. Mattaniah, he has made you a gift to be given. And Asaph, he has come against the reproach that tries to destroy you. If you decide this morning to dig a little deeper with God, if you decide to lay your foundations more on his word and not your circumstances, if you decide to trust in him and not what you see or not what's against you, listen to me. I want to tell you something. These armies that came against Jehoshaphat were real. They were real. There were hundreds of thousands, and they were men of war, and they came for one thing, for annihilation. They came to destroy the confidence of Jehoshaphat. They came to destroy the relationship with covenant agreement with God that he gave David. Listen, God's covenants are still intact. Do you know that? His covenants are still intact. And the covenant that God gave you, the love covenant that Jesus Christ paid for, cannot be overthrown by the enemy in any way. You're valuable to God. You're a treasure to God. He wants to use you as a gift adorned by him so people see you and they see God. And he has removed the reproach or the plan of the enemy. The battle's not yours. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, two things. Number one, I'm here, but I'm not serving Jesus. I know that I'm not serving Jesus. I haven't surrendered my life to Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity to change that today. He's waiting for you. Jesus won't come and pull you or drag you. That's your choice. Your choice will determine your eternity. And listen to me, because these words will ring through your mind for eternity, for 20 billion trillion years. It was my choice. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus and you want to know Jesus, I'm going to ask you with all the courage in the world, it's no courage to have eternal life, to get up out of your seat. You say, I'm not living for, I don't care what your past was. I don't care if you were. I don't care if you preached the gospel or if you're the biggest heathen ever walked. The fact is, right now, you're not in relationship with Christ. And you want to be. I want to ask you to stand where you are right now. I'm going to pray.